you walk with the Lord, but the Lord's spirit is the thing you know that could keep you in the flow. I added to it. What? What? No.
Grace?
No.
Was it grace?
Yeah.
You heard it, right?
What
you
the,
heard me back when I was talking about this?
No, sir.
But the more spiritual thing you know to keep you in the flow with the Lord. But the more spiritual thing you can get, healed quicker with anything. You can get healed quick. You can get financially quick. You can get a breakthrough quicker than anything else. Produce obedience. The psalm real good. He said, powerful. It's going to flow you. Because it's going to flow you. That's this message of grace. He said grace, but this message of grace is so powerful. And I see what the enemy has been putting on the church. Y'all got it?
I got words, man.
I mean, this is not going to even sound spiritual when I tell you what it is. But it's the very thing he's using to block you all the time. Forgive him.
Forgive him.
Uh-huh. You see what happened? I'm forgiven. Then I'm loved, you see.
Right.
And see what happened when he put on the church? The early church broke bread every Sunday, the early church. And then in the book of Acts, they broke bread. Paul was preaching, and he preached so long, it was midnight, the boy fell and broke his neck, died. Now watch this. They're preaching and breaking bread, fellowshipping, remembering the first important. The first important in your life is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what brings you forgiveness. All right? Paul preaching, that boy fell down and broke his neck. Paul went down there and got on him and raised him back from the dead. And now we celebrate the great resurrection? No. Went back up in the room, broke bread again. Because every time we break bread, we're bringing ourselves in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, first important.
Because
what they're saying now, death, burial, resurrection, I'm forgiven.
Yeah.
I'm loved. And see, in the era of mistakes, in the area of failure is where Satan flattened you out at. Because he don't want you to know you're forgiven. Once a man know they're forgiven, his habit, see, Satan try to keep you connected to your behavior instead of believing. See, believing is more powerful than your behavior. If you try to correct your behavior, he got you. But you won't correct your believing, man. Come on. Wow. See what I'm saying? See, so he got us fighting behavior, fighting sins. And all we got to do is come back and let the death, burial, resurrection of Christ paralyze that sin nature that is still there. Put it back in place. But he got us over here putting out a little small fire. I did this yesterday, I did this next day. I do this every week. I want to stop doing this. So you got to mess with this. You're not going to stop doing it because you're dealing with your behavior. Now, if you really want to be blessed, you turn around and believe what the scripture says. He died for me and that I'm forgiven of all my sin. And because I made a mistake, he still loves me. Let's say, for instance, the Spirit of God is moving, so the leader, I might say to you, everybody raise your hand. I say, everybody raise your hand. Well, you want to follow through, but you don't feel like raising your hand because you don't feel worthy. So it's like saying, so you don't feel worthy? All right. And you don't want to raise your hand? So it's like saying, be clean, then take your bath. You see it?
Yeah.
Be clean and take your bath.
Yeah.
No. I'm taking a bath because I'm not clean.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So we have it backward.
That's
why we have so much problem getting people delivered. We got people dealing with behavior. And we're beating them behind. Tell them they're no good. So what they hear? I'm no good. So if we get docked, they're going back to do that sin again. But we tell them you're blessed and you're forgiven. The Lord not holding this against you. That person will come right out.
Mm-hmm.
Been a backward deal, man. This church, y'all get ready, but this church gonna run over. People get delivered and set free. But the Lord done broke the barrier on that grace, understanding of grace. People feel so bad. People really love God. Love God, but got a behavior nobody knows. That thing bothering them, you know, pornography. I mean, it's just all of it. It's name it all. Adultery, all of it. That's a behavior that you got caught up in, you did it 6 times, and now, even though you go to church, even though you go through emotion, you feel unworthy. So in your unworthiness, Satan reel you back in. Because nobody told you God still loves you. So Satan called you a skunk and a punk. And Jesus said, no, you're my child. Come here. Reel you back in. Because all your sin, and this is what we're scared of, little dude. This is what the body of Christ scared of. Men are scared of. All your sin, past, present, and future, was taken by him on that cross.
Yeah,
even your mistakes today is already taken. But you have to know that. You have to know you're going to bump into the log every once in a while. But don't go sleep with the log. Don't ride the log. It's because you're forgiven. So the first thing you have to know, above anything else, first important, Jesus died and buried and rose, and that I am forgiven. I am loved by God with my mess and everything else, because he's the only one. Don't tell me be clean, then take a bath. If you notice who Jesus dealt with in the scripture, everybody Jesus dealt with, that woman was a prostitute. She came behind him crying and put tears on his feet, wiped it with her hair, and began to kiss his feet. What she was doing, she was dirty, but she was getting clean.
Yeah.
But the church, the Pharisee who housed there, that he said, Jesus don't know who that woman was. He don't know what kind of woman that was. Yes, he know. That's who he come for. He come to seek and see a different Lord, not you with your religious idea. So he's not delivered. He's going by his own. I don't do no. I don't drink. I don't run women. He going by that. But he knew that woman. How he knew that woman? He sure knew her pretty good. But that's the case. So I have to get that promise here that everybody, I'm forgiven. And so the breaking bread, nobody pulling on us, John. The breaking of bread is supposed to be the very thing to get us clean and understand that God would love us. He got a duck in the bread.
Because
we got some behavior in our life that we're embarrassed to take communion. I take it because everybody else looking at me. I ain't no good.
Talking about that.
You know what I'm saying? And so, as often as you eat this bread, you do show the Lord death till he comes. See? So, I didn't know what I was doing when I started. I don't know when I'm going to stop taking communion. Because every time health hit our body and the realization of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ come forth in our faith. And I believe that's where we're going to see a lot of miracles and a lot of deliverance and a lot of people. And actually, crooks are going to start testifying. Those who've been crooked, they're going to get so clear of their things, say, man, I did certain things, but thank God I'm clean now. Unashamed.
Yep.
See, it'll take a while, but it'll be done. Don't leave them like that while I look at them. Christ did. My past sin, my present sin, and my future sin are forgiven. Then what are going to lead to a live faith? He's been dead in our faith by not knowing we're forgiven. Preachers come and beat you across the head, whack you across the head, say you ain't going to make it, judge you, and don't preach no grace to you. See what I'm saying?
See, you hearing that? See, so, I'm forgiven and I'm loved. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Mistakes and all.
Yep.
Because he's going to drive it out, see? He's going to drive it out. When you dealing with men who wash houses, they have mildew and stuff on those houses. But when they put that pressure hose with that formula they got on there, that green stuff started running down because it's coming off them. Because the hose and the detergent is greater than the green slime that is against that. Mm-hmm. So the green slime that he tried to put in our lives because we didn't come to the grip to the fact that, man, I'm forgiven. See, the church world don't know this. So the church world is under guilt. So why? Why we sick? Why we broke? See, they don't know that. And see, Satan pulled that off. He pulled it off to make us afraid of communion. They're afraid of communion. They want communion, but they don't want it too often. And they're afraid of it. And when they take it, it has no significance to them. You know, it's just, I took my communion. But no, that's to remind you of the broken body, the shedded blood, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Once you get in that spirit, then you find out, man, I'm forgiven. So you messed up yesterday. So Satan ain't gonna harm, and then he said you're gonna do it again tomorrow. If you keep declaring, I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm the righteousness of God, you'll get off your back. But if you come to a church, you're looking for deliverance, and the church talking about who did what, they ain't gonna make it. This person not gonna make it. You know, he said, oh man, I just went to that ballroom. You know, and that's the way it is. But, you know, the point to find out how much God loved him. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. If you find out how much God loved you, I found that out when I got saved that morning. That morning when I got saved, I had no intention of getting saved or nothing else, about no Jesus or nothing else. But when that preacher talked about God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, something hit me. And I know what it was. Now the love of God was shed abroad in my heart and gave me hope, supernatural hope. And from that day forward, I moved from the premises that God loved me. I didn't know nothing about no scriptures, but I knew he loved me, and I was a crook, man. You understand? I'd done all kind of old crazy things. And I found out God loved me, so I just stuck with that love. I stuck with that love so much, I never had no temptation to go back out in the street. That love kept me overshadowed. You know, and then they preach unbelief in my church, you know. Matter of fact, my pastor really didn't preach it. He didn't really preach unbelief. He just didn't preach believing. He didn't know. So he just talked about Jesus. And every Sunday he talked about Jesus. Jesus loved you. Jesus loved you. He said, he'll preach hell to me. You'll go to hell if you don't get right. And then man, you get kind of shook up, but I never did because I knew I was right. The righteousness of God was in my heart. The righteousness, Jesus the righteous one, had just changed my life. Like he took something out of me and put something else in me, but I still had that, now I know what it is, that sin nature, but I kept it under control by the word. I stay in the word every day. I've been in the word every day for almost 40 years. Every day, just feeding on the word. And so that sin nature couldn't pick me up and carry me back into my old way. See, now a lot of people read the Bible, like read the Bible. It's not going to do you no good. If you don't know what I'm saying now, if you don't know you're forgiven,
mm-hmm.
You don't know you're forgiven, you don't know God loves you in your mess. What? God loves you in your mess. And once a person recognized that, a wife recognized that her husband loved her in a mess, I don't read much on this, but I think her name was Gomer. Well, once you recognize you love your mess, say, man, I'm not going to be a mess. I'm gonna give him something to love. So I know if he did it for me. See, I was womanized. I'd run the street, drink, smoke cigars. I know he cleared me up on one Sunday morning, didn't clear anybody up. And so one of the main things I know is that I'm forgiven. So when I know I'm forgiven, Satan cannot use my weakness against me. You see, the Apostle Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Why? Because God said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. So what we all trying to be strong, you know, I ain't did nothing wrong. Man, you did. You did do something wrong. You did do something wrong. But you're forgiven. And so the next time that thing come up, you know its color, it's red. I ain't messing with that. That ain't giving glory to God. And you got the strength not to do it. See? So the Bible says, by one man's death, sin reigned. By another man's death, talking about Christ, now righteousness reigns. And now we are to receive. Now that word is important. It's another word, receive. The abundance, Romans 5:17, the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you shall reign in life in Christ Jesus. So to read the person not reigning in life, they don't know how to receive abundance of grace. They know how to receive abundance of work. I prayed 2 hours and I read 17 chapters. Thank God you did that. But it's no good if you don't know you're forgiven. You don't know your love. Oral Roberts came out saying this 25, 30 years ago. Something good going to happen to you. All ministers turn against it. Churches turn against it. That's shutting down on it. You had a revelation of the goodness of God. And you can't tell people that. See, you can't tell people that. Tell them God watching. Nowhere you can hide. Anywhere you go, God looking at you. So that's a frightening to put fear on their behind. That's a demonic fear. See, the Bible said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so I'm telling you now, you just get ready. Our staff going to increase. They're going to sweep. People going to be all up in the balcony, everywhere, just hungry for the word of God. You'll see them line up. Once you get this moving, motivated by love and grace and truth, mm-hmm. and people get set free, and a lot of healing gonna take place. That woman with them tumor was a woman coming to that about she had 16 tumors. That was an introduction to her. See, God was pushing me that way. There are people who think they're righteous on their own. All of us are righteous because of Jesus. And so when you get the congregation, those who think they're so holy and those who think they're so unholy all come to the holiness of Christ, you're going to have a holy church. And one, everybody going to love everybody. And nobody going to think they're more than anybody else because they didn't go out and drink no drink. The man went out and took a drink last night. So what? Jesus going to clean him up. Jesus said, think not I come to call the righteous to repent. I come seek and save that which is lost. The righteous can take care of themselves. They know what to do. The righteous know to cling to me. It's a sinner who need to hear what I'm saying. The righteous is going to receive as soon as I say it. The righteous on board, see. And so, get clean and then take a bath. that make no sense? That make no sense.
No.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So when you're beating people who got shortcomings across the head, that's what you tell them. Go back and get clean and come back here and take a bath. What's up? So, don't I have to take a bath first before I get clean? No. Go get clean and then come take a bath. See, this is a bath house. When you come here, you take a bath. This is the place you get your bath. Huh? You don't come here, you ain't bathed yet. John 15:1 said, you're clean through my word. That's the bath. Is there any stain that the word can't get out? Huh? Is there anything? And then when you talk about the imparting of a gift by blaspheming the Holy Ghost, you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. So you got to recognize, Lord brought me back to, I studied this a long time ago, who he talking to? Moses talking to Jesus, talking to the Jews.
who denounce him. When you get on the other side of the cross, you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You can't. Because the Holy Ghost is a part of you.
Wow.
So the people arguing about, you know, I wonder if I blaspheme. Man, how you going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? You're saved. Yeah, but I got drunk last night. Yeah, but you're still saved. See, and that's the thing now. Organized religion can't handle this. First of all, I'm going to repeat this thing, repeat myself. The most powerful revelation you can have in your life is that I'm forgiven forever. Once you get in that stance, now you're going to start taking a bath because Satan, you back to stop focusing on your behavior. Stop focusing on sins and focus on the fact that I'm forgiven and I believe and I accept the grace of God. You do that, you're always going to be clean. See? 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 Got you! No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Next step, I'm going to be out of this. Mm-hmm. Because He could not stop Jesus from getting from the grave. Just as he could not stop Jesus from getting from the grave, he cannot stop you from getting out of the grave. The sting, wow, listen to this. The sting had been taken from your sins.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sin no longer have a sting for you because you have been buried and you have rose with Christ. So, when the bee stings you, you're going to turn to honey. See, I want you to think. I want you to see what happens. See, the more the bee sting, the more honey you're going to have. See, because the more the bee sting, you're going to quit relying on yourself to stop the bee. And you're going to look for the honey. The honey is always there. And so it's so important. So important because I think all of us need this because all of us have shortcomings, including pastor and apostle. But it's more than what you know. The grandest thing is who you know. And so the church has been in a sad condition. In helping people. Sometimes the church more of a hurt than a help. Because when grace is left out, works come in, self-effort come in. What do I have to do to get this right? Come in. And it's not about you doing anything, it's about you accepting and believing and receiving. The word is, two words, is receiving and releasing. Receiving what God done for you and releasing your faith in Him, in what He did, not what you can do. Bad habits come from behavior patterns that have been taken out of believing. But now you've done that thing three times, now you feel you're no good. Now you put up a front when you're in front of people, but you're really not free. And you're looking at a free man, I'm free. I have shortcomings? Absolutely. But I'm free, and then I like what the Lord said yesterday, that your conscience become a compass, and it'll guide you right back. What do you call that thing? GSP?
GPS.
GPS. It bring you right back where you're supposed to be, in the presence of God. And right there is your forgiveness. Right there is all the grace, because most Christians we're not right in life. First of all,
We feel unforgiven a lot of times. We made a mistake. We go by our feeling. We're sick. Number two. Number three, money ain't right. Oh, none of that should be in our lives. Not one of our lives. Not even how much you make. It's not how much money. Money is not based on how much you make. Money is based on having a revelation of God's way of doing things and doing it His way. And they sing a song. I heard it all Sunday morning. Soon, and very soon we'll see the King. Well, I wasn't paying too much about that. But if you follow the principles of God, soon and soon, you're going to see you're completely out of everything that is damnable, everything that is from the enemy. What about the abundant life? You know. Now, to further answer Ronald's question, because I've been kind of thinking about it. Ronald says, what about once saved, always saved? I'm saved forever. That's right. Once saved, always saved in the aspect of a person who won't keep it. You see, why? The devil can't take it from him. See, I wouldn't preach it. You know, once you're saved, you always saved because the point is a word there. The word called choice.
Right.
See, neither one of us robot or robot. Every day, every time you rise up, you got to make a choice. I choose to be forgiven. I choose not to operate by my goodness or my work. I choose to live my life day by day under grace. I decree in the face of shortcoming, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can put clothes in your washing machine, put it on hot water. You don't put no detergent in it with it. You're just going to get wet clothes. Funk still going to be there. But if you put, and the spot's still going to be on there. But if you put that detergent in, the right type of detergent, the washing machine, the warm water, and the detergent is a combination to come out clean. So your forgiveness. You see, in communion, they say, guilty of the Lord's body. Boy, that. And that's the part the church have consecrated on. Concentrated on. You're guilty of the Lord's body. No, it want to tell you, that what it's for to tell you that you're not guilty. No matter what, you're not guilty. The goodness of God lead to repentance. See, the goodness of God. Why would the Bible say that? The goodness of God. Once I see how good He is, back to the 10,000 and the $10. 10,000. You owe me 10,000, you owe me $10. I forgive y'all both. Say, all right, boy, just forget about it. I'm going to write it all. You're going to love me more. That's why I love you so much. See, my life, by the grace of God, is sort of patterned after the Apostle Paul. Paul had done so many wrong things, but Paul was 100% crook. I was 100% crook. But when God forgave me and put His hand on me, I turned 100% the other way. See? He said, you wasn't 100, maybe 85, grace took care of the other 15. Alright, so that's where we're headed. We're headed to let these people know that they are forgiven, that they love, and that great thing gonna happen in their life as they keep hearing God's word. Everybody gonna be free. And the message is gonna come from around. You see, he told me that he had surges that they say come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, our bomb called. We've had surges of this. But he gonna put a permanent headquarters here of people who live in life that is beckoning for others to see what they're doing. Because in this religious belt of Louisiana, people don't know nothing about no grace. Just got a feel of charismatic juggling that have come across the line. But did you notice those people Sunday? They couldn't stay in their seat. I tried to set them down, but you three quarters will stand up again. Because they were hearing what the Bible called good news.
Mm-hmm.
Now, masterfully, men have stood in this pulpit and preach a perverted gospel. Not on purpose. It's perverted because grace and forgiveness left out. And they're trying to teach you faith, but the reason the faith not working, the grace is not connected to it. The forgiveness is not connected to it. So it sound good, but it turned out to be tingling cymbals. And what's so sad about it, interwoven is much scriptures, many good scriptures, you know, interwoven and explained. But the major ingredients are left out. Hey, man, you forgiven. Forgiven? Man, you know what I did last night? Yeah, Jesus took care of that 2,000 years ago. What? What? Now, he got hope in him. Now his faith got something attached. Grace mixed up in there. Now he's getting strong in the spirit. Now that same temptation come back. He says, Satan, I'm forgiven. Because Satan only can get you to do it again if he got you condemned, trapped in his system. He trapped you in his system of darkness. But once the light come on and you see it, and you say, oh, I'm not unworthy. Why am I not unworthy? Because Jesus is not unworthy, and Jesus live in me. Very simple. So, see, I've been preaching a long time. I may know more of this than you all know how we have preached a perverted gospel to some extent. Now, I taught a lot of truth, understand that. But now I'm seeing this thing so clear that some people are missed because you didn't give them the platform that they needed to walk on or the foundation that they needed to walk on. You know, the Bible said, no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Christ Jesus. What kind of foundation Jesus laid? A forgiving foundation? A loving foundation? Not a fault-finding foundation? Look at him in the gospel. Look at him. Nobody was too bad to come to Jesus. The prostitute at the well. The woman who's washing his feet. Everybody who religion turned away, that's who Jesus would look for. Jesus didn't use the pass through Samaria, 4th chapter of John, but he took a detour to pass through where the bad woman was to tell her that he got some water, that if she drank it, she'll never get thirsty again. She still thinking about physical water. He's talking about spiritual water. Oh, and that water was the grace, the love, and all that she needs. The woman forgot she was a prostitute. She wasn't a prostitute no more. She left, she came to that well as a prostitute, had 5 husbands, and she had 1 hour. When she heard that grace word from Lord Jesus, she said, I perceive you a prophet. He talked to her a little more, she kept talking about their religion, and then finally it zoned on her who he was, and it got in her heart, and she went back to town preaching. What kind of message did she preach? She preached a grace message.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because so much grace was offered to her. Here's a man who didn't look at me. Here's a man who didn't try to hit on me. Here's a man didn't tell me how bad I was. Here's a man talking about he's going to give me some water. They're going to change my life forever. She took a drink. She took a drink. You think that woman went back to prostitute? No. That woman preached the rest of her life. Why? Because when temptation came, she knew she was forgiven. And that's where people will grow, become strong, and know that actually all of their wrongdoing was placed on Jesus at the cross. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the 3rd verse declares that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is of first importance. Why? It's the thing that it's the very root of it all. It's the very release of power that is greater than any other release. Because what? It rang the bell, the dinner bell. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. And there's grace and righteousness and love and truth. No, all I know is faith. See, we've taught faith. The word of faith, I'm not knocking you, you understand? The word of faith, charismatic, full gospel, I'm saved, I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost, I'm healed, I'm prosperous. That's full gospel. No, but they ain't put no, no girl in there. I've been with them. Of the grace of God, and the love of God. Because everybody gonna need it. See? So that's why my shortcoming, my mistake, they don't bother me. They don't hold me. I walk right out of it. I get angry with Carol sometimes, walk right out of it. Get angry with you, walk right out of it. And right like that. I never could hold a grudge. Because see, I'm told that the doctors one time could study your saliva, and they found on your saliva that a poison is being developed in your system because of bitterness. See, as a way for to test your saliva. If that bitterness is in you, it's poisoning your body every day. Poisoning your body every day. Isn't that something? And if you don't get it out, it's going to cause problems. See? So that's why Jesus said 7 times 70. Some kind of figure you, it's just an infinite number that you need to forgive a person. And so when we start studying the culture of honor, what John's teaching now, it was kind of strange to us. We were trying to work it out. But the Lord was heading us to this finale here. This is going to be a finale. It's going to be a finale. It's going to be a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a phenomenon. You're going to see people break down, just crawl on the floor, praising God. That they got free because of a lot of hidden agenda. People got to hide stuff because they won't let the water out when they come to get their bath. They keep throwing dirt on them. Keep telling them who they're not. You know, use your faith. Love God. See. But if you put that water out like Jesus did at the well, full of grace, full of forgiveness, you know, one of the first things Jesus had to do is forgive that woman. That woman, through the gospel preached to her, found out that she was forgiven.
Mm.
She found out there was a grace she could walk in. He talked to the master. He's all that. I mean, you in the very atmosphere where yet, and she found out she had a grace she could walk in. And so she went back to town, now watch, despising the shame. I thought y'all tell them boys today, man. The renegade I was, and the people who knew I was a renegade, once I got saved and started digging God's word, none of them people saw me no more. I walked right up to them. They came see me. They don't know. They don't. That I'm a new person. They don't know who I am. Some of the same people I ran the street with. See, man. Say, what happened, man? I've been in church 17 years. What happened to you? He said, man, I don't know. Maybe we got a different experience. I said, I got saved. He said, man, you ain't got to do this. He said, I take communion, I go to church. You don't have to be like this, man. Come on. No, man. I said, man, I love you, but I got something else. You know, I called a social club. They tried to talk me out of it, you know. I was in one called Ocean 11. I called them and said, our big finale was coming up. I said, no, I said, man, take my name off the book. I said, I'm not going to be there. I said, I love you, but I knew what was going to happen. You're getting there, the sin going to be there. I said, I can't come. You know, I'm not coming. I can't be a part of it. Oh, man, I've been in church 25, 30 years. You know. And so these people still now, they don't know they're delivered because once they know they're delivered, they're out of that club because the club does not honor God. See? So they got many people that proclaiming to be Christian, but they're not walking in forgiveness, they're not walking that grace, so they'll keep on having a social club. See, when that which is spiritual come alive, social get on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I don't have no social life. All my life is spiritual. You sat at my table, and some of these boys y'all been at my table. You sit at my table, you're going to be spiritual before you get up from that.
Mm-hmm.
Not a social table. You can have ham, you can have whatever you want on that table. This table is a spiritual table. My house is a spiritual house. I watch television on it, but my house is a spiritual house. And so And because of the grace of God. Not because I'm so good, my goodness. It's because I found out the truth. And then so the Lord been working it. Remember the Lord told me, say, I'm going to teach you these 10 things. We got them all recorded. And he tell me I'm going to do that. Then he called me to be an apostle. And now some stuff he's going to get to church. He's going to stuff to get Then I go to the man who got the message. The boy got the message. Joseph Prince got the message. I went to him 2 or 3 times. I said, that boy, I told him, I ain't letting it. He ain't got it. Then if I listen long enough, I got to the finished work of Christ and to the cross. The most important thing is Christ and him crucified. That's what we look to. It's like it's too easy to tell a man, you know, man, you forgive. What? What? I've been looking at pornography for 16 years, and you tell me I'm forgiven just on this day? Yeah, you just forgiven the whole 16 years you were looking at it. Satan was telling you what, no. So you kept on looking. Satan kept condemning you, telling you how no good you are. You don't need to take no communion. Pastor sure was a nice man. I sure don't want to hurt him. Huh. See what I'm saying? But now, we'll get all that under grace. The goodness of God is going to bring people to repentance. Habits are going to be broken overnight. Jesus said, and you shall what? Know the what?
Truth.
What did it do to you?
Make you free.
See? Well, you can't have truth if you don't know you're forgiven. You can't know the truth if you don't know about God's grace. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. How he told him he's going to reign in life? Through the abundance of grace, but say, for his word though, receive. See, every Christian got that right. Every person got that right, really. But most of Christians, receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, you'll reign in life. How can I receive it? You haven't told me it's out there. My grace was manufactured. It was manufactured at the cross. So I can't believe. I can't receive because I don't know it's there. All I know is I just keep messing up. So you got the story. You got the boy who went out, I told you yesterday, and live in Rogers living. All right? He need grace. Got the boy at the house doing everything right. He need grace. The boy out there didn't know what was his. The boy at the house who never went drank and run no women or nothing. He don't even know. And that's where the church at. That Lord, that's where the church at. Got those who sneaking and creeping and they come in and hide and they feel bad and condemned and they love God but they don't know how to get out of that spider web. That spider got them caught. And they can't get out. That web don't. It looked like I'm out, but I'm not out. Spider web is a very. The Lord gave me a revelation of spider web about 15 years ago. That thing's very tricky because you're getting that thing like it can't hold you. But that thing got strength enough to hold that boat. And the more he fight more to get up. Out, the more he get wrapped up. Finally, get exhausted. Without water, without food, he die. Here comes the spider. That's where it is. Most people caught. They're caught in a spider web. And don't know it, and only forgiveness and grace and the gospel, the real gospel, don't get them out. See, they don't even know they can get out. And so our job here, our vision now, is to let these people know that they are forgiven, but put it in a scripture where they can understand it. Let them know it's from Jesus Christ. Let them know that Satan cannot have them. They can. They can, see, because they didn't have the revelation of the cross. So, 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, such was some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in Christ Jesus and through the Spirit of God. So if I was washed, if I was sanctified, if I was justified, and act in my life, not going to change that. And act in my life can't change that. Matter of fact, 15 acts in my life can't change that. All I need to do is hear the gospel, that grace can give me a space to get out of this thing and walk back into, and then I found out now. See, I found out, once you find out how much God loves you, and once you find out how God operates, you're going to live right. Once you find out that Satan against you is powerless, unless you give him the power, you're not going to follow your feeling no more. Your feeling is not a pattern to go by. Symptoms will come. Suggestions will come. But you can't go by your feeling. You got to go by a fact. It's a fact that Jesus died. It's a fact that nothing couldn't hold him in the grave. It's a fact that he risen. It's a fact that he ascended. It's a fact that he's seated at the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and I'm seated with him. That's a fact. You can't take it from me. Organized religion will take that from you. They'll take that from you. Because, you know, you got these popular preachers, and you got these people sitting in the pew who don't go, never been out. And never, you know, so they figure, if that boy at home, stupid boy, he at home, he doing everything right, he don't even know about his inheritance. Now, and then you know he's sinful, he angry now. He angry with his daddy, he angry with, and the people in the church get like that. They get angry with God because God do something for somebody else. And the dumb question Larry asked one time, well, what we going to do? The same thing I'm doing, dummy. Do the same thing. You don't have to be in the position I am. Just look, find out what I'm doing. Do the same thing. And God going to get us, you're going to get the same result.
Absolutely.
See, when we put positions in where you are and who you are before the gospel. See, the boy at home was worse than the boy who was out there did come and got him a party. Got a new role, got a new sound. That boy sitting out there with the same old sound on, because he don't even know that daddy got some new role. He ain't even wearing it. He just so religiously, that's it. He just so religiously, not righteously. He's so religiously doing it. He don't even know what's wrong to him. That's the church divided right there. That's the church right there. The boy who went off, boy who stayed home. Now the boy off, right, before he came back home. The prodigal son. And they got his boy at home doing right? All right? Who enjoying the blessing? Neither one of them. This is what happened to the church. The sinner out there doing his thing, he ain't enjoying himself. He vomiting every morning. But the church, we not vomiting, but we're walking in vomiting. Nobody getting the blessing. The prodigal not getting it, and the boy plummeting at home, he not getting it. So just because you at the church, just because you're not out there with them, don't mean you no better off. You don't know your inheritance. You don't know how to receive it. First of all, I'm forgiven. Secondly, Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. All my sins forgiven. The grace of God right there, knock on my door. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's what a Christian needs to know. Now, why they persecuted Paul so much? I'll tell you why. And I'm getting help. Why they persecuted Paul so much? He preached another gospel. Now, could this be true? Listen to me very carefully. Paul preached the gospel of grace, son. All right? Paul preached the gospel of grace, all right? Now, soon as Paul left, they went back to this other gospel about what you have to do, how you have to act. So Paul called it a perverted gospel. But the law of devil reference, if you look in the first chapter of Galatians, twice Paul said, one time behind another one, if you preach any other gospel, I'll call you a curse. Why the curse on the church? God. That law, why? I mean, why the church is not emanating in miracles, signs, money. Why are we all not rich? We don't know the grace. We don't know the grace. We know the job. We know the college.
Mm-hmm.
We know working overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know the grace. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he's rich, he became poor that you might become rich. If you start walking in that grace on a daily basis, you've got to become rich. Now, rich is having a full supply. That don't mean having just got to have a Rolls Royce. Just having a full supply with no need. Your rich level might be different than ours. See what I'm saying? So here's what we're going to bring us this church back to, these boys, the creature. We're going to bring this church back to the grace of God. Let me go back to Paul. They persecuted Paul because Paul wouldn't preach what they preached. Here's a younger man coming to an older man. Peter was older than Paul. And so Paul taught Peter the message. Left town, come back. Peter and Barnabas now, apostles. They done let people influence them not to preach the whole gospel. And they done separate themselves from the people. Separate themselves and went with the people who didn't know the message. Because they didn't want the persecution. I'm one myself. Probably got somebody else in this room. When I heard that message being preached, I said the whole statement, "This too good to be true." Ain't no way. It's too good to be true. It's too easy. But the Lord talks about it ready to your Sunday. It's beautiful in Matthew's chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And the messenger Bible says, getting hooked up to the unfold rhythm of grace. That's what they have here. An unfold rhythm of grace. You got to force, you got to flow. See, the thing is that we have tried to force righteousness. But righteousness is a force.
Mm-hmm.
It is a force. You're trying to force righteousness. You can't force. You can't have a Big Mac truck hook up to a pickup and try to make the pickup force Big Mac. The Big Mac got a big decent engine. You're going to pull that truck all over town. See what I'm saying? And so we try to force righteousness, and righteousness is the force. And every born-again child of God, in their sin or out of their sin, gone out as a prodigal or at the church, has that force on the inside. And so we at the church were weak to attendance because they don't know about this grade. Every one of y'all, just what I'm talking with you about right now, can soar like an eagle. Can soar like an eagle. Just keep telling yourself, I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm the right. You say it. Now you got to say it, knowing that it's from death, burial, resurrection, Christ. It's in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You keep saying that force going to stir up in you, and you're going to start raining in every aspect of your life. Anybody around you is going to start raining. And they're not going to be able to help it because God says, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I said it ought to do. And it prosper therein too. That's a word from God. That's a word from God. So, now watch over my word to perform it. So that's why Paul, when he got ready, when he wanted to tell the pastor, y'all, this is the way you got to handle it. Take heed to yourself, to all the flock. Then he said, now I recommend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, the word of his grace, and to give you an inheritance. So, why there's such a shortage in the church members? They have not been receiving fully the word of grace. Once you receive the word of grace, you do two things. Build you up, give you an inheritance. I wonder how they're going to do that. Well,
The word of grace says you're forgiven. The word of grace says you're loved. The word of grace says release your faith. The word of grace says in this business your man foretells, listen, watch what I'm about to say now. In this business is knowing how to receive. Knowing how to receive what you can't see physically, but seeing it in the spirit and knowing that you have it and keeping your faith point toward that way, and it got to come to you. And you see, you call things that be not as though they were. Abraham was accounted to righteousness not because he was so good, because him and Sarah both laughed when they told him they're going to have a baby. See, now, let's go there. Trying to help God. That's amazing. We take scripture and try to help God. Scripture. I'm going to help God. I'm going to pray 4 hours. I'm going to help God. Not much believing, a whole lot of praying. Now, you always got to remember where my mindset is. Am I on the bondage side or am I on the promise side? Am I Ishmael or am I Isaac? What side am I on? I'm in the bond woman house or I'm in the free woman house? Ignorance will keep you in the bond woman house. Revelation will take you into the promise of God. And your faith can work because you know you've been forgiven, you're righteous of God. That's the problem. We got this Ishmael and Isaac. We got our self-effort to help God religiously. Or we got our ability of acceptance that God has done this for me. And we got it. Are you a child of bondage? You're living your life, your prayer life is a child. You're trying to get out of bondage? No, I'm not trying to get out of no bondage. I'm a child of promise. So through the word of grace, I'm being built up and I'm receiving my inheritance. Listen to this. All right, I pray in tongue an hour a day. Praise the Lord for an hour. Read my Bible for an hour. Hallelujah. And I don't know the message of grace, I waste a lot of time. So, hallelujah. And they take, so now we teach, we learn segments of God's word, and we go after it. We leap after it. Thank God we do that. But by the same token, if the main ingredient is not in there, it's why you're not moving at the pace that you could move. So most Christians live their whole life going now, trying to get there. They die daily. Trying to get there. They love God with all their heart, but they're trying to get there. They never reach that point where I'm satisfied in Jesus. In other words, I'm real satisfied. I'm blessed. I'm healthy. I ain't got no finances in my family. Things come up, but God working it out. They never reach it. Why? Man ingredient left out. See? So they teach us. Pray in tongues. Right. It builds you up. See what I'm saying? It'll anoint you. But if you left grace out, I'm forgiven out, because you're going to make a mistake next week sometime. Something's going to happen. You left that, now you're going back and praying tongues some more. See? But tongue can't change that. Tongue can't make you forgiven. Tongue can make you know that you're forgiven past, present, and future. It puts you in a spiritual mode but it's not the main ingredient. Grace is. What is grace? God releasing his goodness on you. Not because you good, but because Jesus good, and you turn your head that way. Follow me? See, We got an unforgiveness problem. We won't forgive people. That's why the culture of order came in and said we should love people. Don't hold people. Minister to them. Love them. Now we're going to be able to do a better job because we're going to be handling gray spaces. See, God give you a space to repent. And I believe when people hear this message, nobody going to miss a space. Finally, for long duration, they're not going to need no space. They'll catch it so fast. They'll catch it in the thought process and hang it right there on the rack of grace, the rack of love, the rack of forgiveness. In a thought process, because then listen to this: a person who operates in grace, that and God loves me and I'm forgiven, gonna start operating in God's thought. Remember, God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways," said the Lord. Well, a person gonna start operating in God's thought. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. We'll get this thing straight. Lord, I'm sorry. I said that yesterday. See, I'm not talking about not adding up. When the conviction come, the confession come. But the confession didn't do it. The conviction did it. See what I'm saying? And then things start happening. Why men call success material? Okay? You know why? They don't know the value of this. And you can't have this till you know the value of this. They don't know the value of grace. They don't know the value. They don't know the most important thing they got is God's love. They're talking about a car and a house. You see what I'm saying? Huh? These things don't worth nothing. They don't worth nothing. I got them. They don't worth nothing without knowing right here that love, God loved me. I'm forgiven. I'm living under the finished work of Jesus being buried. See, putting first things first. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, you left your first love. People are trying to find something else. They're trying to find, how can I pay all my bills? How can I build a three-story house? How can I do this? How can I retire early? Man, come on. Put first things first. Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tell me so. See, why a lot of y'all not hungry? You're not hungry because you don't know there's something to eat greater than what you're eating. But how you get 12, 30, 1 o'clock, a little past lunch? How you get so hungry? Because your body got more sense than you. That's why you get hungry. Your body got more understanding about food than you got to understand your spirit. You, the real you. You don't have understanding how much you need to eat. You're more concerned about what kind of sandwich you gonna have, or where you going for lunch? Then you're up for spiritual things. How much spiritual things you've done today already? See, some of y'all ain't done nothing. You're faking it because you don't know the importance of it. the Holy Ghost coming, man. You don't realize you're not hungry. You're not thirsty enough. You're too physical. Nobody gonna miss lunch today. But you're misreading the scripture. You say, pop, 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 pop. God ain't hurt you. See? Because it's not important to you. It's not valuable enough for you to get up and set a time apart. I'm gonna set you 15 minutes. No, you do it in the car. Not important. Why are you eating the car? You had your breakfast at the house, if you had breakfast. See, until you let the Holy Spirit. See, let me go back. See, I look like an oddball. You know, he always in the Bible, he always want to talk about the Bible, Jesus. We ain't got time, we got some business to do. What business you got to do? What business you got to do to disconnect from this, what we're talking about now? You got the best job in the world. You can open your Bible on this job and read. I'll walk right up to you. Won't say a word to you. You can be praying. I'll walk right up on you. You can pray on this job all day long. The dude can pray all day long in this area.
I come in here and pray. I've been on secular jobs. You can't do that. They'll fire you. Everybody wonder what time lunchtime is. You look at your wife. Lunchtime. What about your spirit? Is it that important? Is feeding your spirit, is it important at lunchtime, supper time? No, it ain't. No, it's not. No, it's not. All right, calibrate. Go back 30 days and see what most emphasis has been put. Never miss a meal. Most of the time we're not fasting. Never miss a physical meal. Your stomach growl, get a banana. Get something quick. Am I saying that wrong? Am I trying to condemn you? No, I'm just trying to show you the value system of grace, forgiveness, love, receiving. What the Lord, I walked through the house, the Lord said, yeah, receiving. I said, I was listening to the tape earlier this morning. He said, receive. He said, go back over your lesson. I said, all right. Therefore, I said to you, what things shall you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. He said, so I receive it? I said, yes, sir. He said, go to John 1:12. But as many as receive, whoa, receive him, to them give you the power to become the Son of God. I said, all right. He said, very, very, I said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things, what he said, watch this, shall come to pass, receive it. So then you go back to Romans 5:17, and it says, he that received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness on a continuous basis is the one who gonna reign in life in Christ Jesus. Notice he said now, notice as the scripture tag on the most important part, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in Christ, in the Lord, in Christ. Read the scripture, you'll see it. See, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Why keep saying in Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he a new creature, old things pass away. Why keep saying in Christ? He's trying to get you a signal. It's not you. It's the in the Christ part. You in Christ. So it doesn't matter. In your sin, you're still in Christ. You just ain't got all based in your physical body and your mind and your feeling and your behavior. But you're still in Christ. Let the Christ in you. That's why he said, you've overcome them, little children, because greater is he that's in you. Live from the inside. Live from the inside. What happened on the inside? You're a Christian. You're doing something wrong, but you got a scratching going on in the inside. Just scratching you. That's me in there saying, don't do it no more. You don't have to. Take my grace and walk out of it. You see what I'm saying? There's always a scratch. Christian never can do wrong without a scratching. Mm-hmm. No. Not if you're born of God's spirit. That's why you hide to do it. Why you don't do that? No. Just pull your clothes off, walk down the street, and do all the old nasty stuff you want to do. Just do anything. Why you hide? Same way with Eve and Adam want to hide. That's why I just kind of hinted, and somebody was smart and said, spelled evil, the backwards spelled evil another way, it means live. That's why God don't want us to know nothing about no evil. Take from the tree of life, and evil and goodness will take care of themselves. See, don't y'all get left behind, and don't just live here and get ready to die. That's such a span of life that is available. I've had some valuable things. I got rings. Oh, cost a lot of money. Watches. Drive Rolls Royce. I came here on my wife's Rolls Royce this morning. And then I got one of the biggest jets in the world, private jet. We live at the best hotel when we travel. I got the best suit, shoe. But there's an expansion in my heart that God gave me over the years that is not particularly for me. It's for everyone who would receive it. But a lot of times we go on with life and everything else. And I think you'll be helped from this morning and the rest of your life. And then I think I'm going to have to teach this message on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm going to try to tell the people, come and get it. Because Sunday's not enough. I need to have a bit more of a shifting. I need to pour it out as the Lord poured into me. So people can catch a hold of things like we catch a hold of it this morning. See, I need to just get them to start talking sometime without any notes. Just start talking like I'm doing now. Just let the Spirit lead me from one dimension to another. I've trained myself with notes. But you know, it's so much. It's so valuable. You know, you ask a question, what's the most valuable thing in your life? They're running their house trying to catch something. It's my car. If I just can get this car, if I just can get this bike, if I just can get this, if I just can get that, well, I got this and I got that. Ain't changed nothing. I found out I had the main thing all the time. It's Jesus. Father, I pray in Jesus' name today, as you have set us up as a staff, to hear words that we have not heard before. I'm thanking you for every person that's on the sound of my voice, that each person you will surround me with to get this job done, that they receive the benefit of knowing that they're forgiven, knowing that they're loved, knowing that no habit, no breakdown in their life can hold them, that they're free to walk out anytime they get ready. They're free to put you in priority, to put you first before the meal, before what kind of clothes they're going to wear, to put you first, not just by praying and reading the Bible, but understanding your amazing grace that is on their life, not just for them, but for others around them, their personal, their intimate family, that they can walk through that house and leave an anointing on that house and that family that'll change everything. We thank you for showing us these things today. I will give you the praise and the glory. And we honor you. In Jesus' name. I'm through. Praise God.